Welcome back to Pearls and Swine. This is the final part of our conversation on good news you can use. I'm Levi.
And I'm Lisa. And here's a quick recap if you're joining us for part three. Ruth is a foreign widow with nothing, gleaning leftover grain in a field. Boaz is a landowner and he sees her without reducing her, protects her. And when she asks, "Why have I found favor in your eyes?" he tells her she's already taken refuge under the wings of God himself.
Today, we're going to follow that all the way to its destination. And it's a better destination than I think most of us expect. Will you read verse 14 of chapter 2 of Ruth?
Sure. And at mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come here and eat some bread and dip your morsel in the wine." So she sat beside the reapers and he passed to her roasted grain. And she ate until she was satisfied and she had some left over.
I want to notice that the movement in just a few verses. Ruth begins the day asking permission to gather leftovers off the ground. By mealtime, she's sitting at the table. She starts at the edge of the field. She ends up beside the workers. She comes in as a foreigner. And he is the guy who owns the field is actually serving her in this moment and passing her the roasted grains. And she becomes satisfied.
That's what grace looks like. Come to the table, right?
yeah. And here's why I think this matters so much. A lot of people, maybe even most people, believe God is willing to let them survive on the margins of his mercy. Maybe he'll tolerate me. Maybe he'll let me stand somewhere in the back. Maybe he'll toss me a little scrap here and there, as long as I don't ask for too much.
Yeah, but that's not what happens here.
No, not even close. Grace doesn't say, "You may survive on the margins." Grace says, "Come to the table and look at the detail." Boaz personally serves her. He passed to her roasted grain. The landowner serves the poor widow with his own hands. The one with abundance, this is beautiful. The one with abundance places food directly into the hands of the hungry.
And then there's that last phrase, right? She had some leftover. That's not nothing.
That's everything, actually. Yeah. This isn't scarcity mercy. Boaz isn't given scarcity, and God doesn't give scarcity mercy. Dolling out just enough to survive. This is abundance mercy. Now, to be clear, this isn't some promise that following God means you'll always have it easy. Ruth is still a widow. Naomi is still grieving. Nothing about their hard circumstances have magically vanished or gone away in one afternoon.
So what changed?
Well, what did change?
Well, I mean, it seems that Ruth has tasted something deeper than survival. She definitely needed food, but she also needed welcome, dignity, and refuge. She needed to know her foreignness didn't get the final word over her future. And at that table, for the first time, she tasted it.
This is where I think the story stops being just a nice account of a generous guy and starts pointing somewhere much, much, much bigger.
Well, yeah. And if we stop the whole story here, it'd just become a moral example. Like, be like Boaz, be generous, notice people. And I guess that's all true as far as it goes, but it's not deep enough because Boaz is good news for Ruth. He's not good enough for the rest of us.
What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, Ruth needed someone to notice her poverty, and we need someone to notice our sin. Ruth needed someone to bring her from the field to the table, and we need someone to bring us from death to life. And Ruth needed someone with enough power to help her without exploiting her, and we need someone with enough holiness to actually deal with what's wrong in us and enough to love to carry us, to carry the weight of it himself. And that's Jesus.
That's a picture of Jesus. Boaz sees Ruth in the field. Jesus sees us in our lostness. We were once lost. We were once lost is what the scriptures say. Boaz moves toward Ruth in kindness. Jesus moves toward us while we are still in the wrong, while we were still sinners. Christ died for us. In his kindness, he came for us. Boaz gives Ruth bread. Jesus says, "Guess what, folks? I am the bread of life." Boaz invites Ruth to the table. Jesus gives us his own table and says, "This is my body given for you."
Yeah, Boaz protects Ruth from shame, and Jesus bears our shame publicly, out open, on a cross.
And here's where the deepest reversal in the whole thing. Ruth was an outsider who got brought in. Jesus became the outsider so that we could be brought in. Jesus became human. He took on flesh. He was pushed outside the city, stripped of his dignity, put naked on a cross, mocked, treated as unclean, who was the guy who was absolutely perfect, the God who was absolutely perfect. He was treated as unclean, sinful, and he was cut off completely.
Why? Why would he do that?
So that people like you and me and people who can hear the words could come and eat. The favor Ruth received from Boaz, it cost Boaz something. Real resources, real risk to his reputation to take a Moabite woman into his house to give her food. But the favor we receive from God, it cost him something. Something great. It cost him his one and only son named Jesus. It cost Jesus his very life. That's why grace is never cheap, even when it's free for us to receive.
So we go back to that question from part two yesterday. Why have I found favor in your eyes? And that's a question that everybody should be asking at the foot of the cross.
And the answer is never because I was good enough, or because I was useful enough, or because I was religious enough. The answer is always the same, because Jesus Christ set his love on you and gave himself for you. That's the only answer that holds.
So let's bring all 3 days together for a second, because I think this is the moment it all comes together. Day one, we asked who's seeing you and who you're failing to see. And yesterday, we asked what you're actually sheltering under when the pressure hits. And today,
day three is the invitation. You don't have to keep gleaning on the edge of the field, hoping to be nobody notices how little you have. There's a table, and the one who owns it is calling you to come and sit down. His name is Jesus. Grace was never meant to leave you surviving on scraps at the edge of the field. It was always meant to bring you all the way to the table. And the only thing you need to bring with you is empty hands. I don't have anything when I go to the table of Christ. I don't bring anything. It is only God who is good. I am not good. And I am a sinner in need of a savior, and that savior is Jesus. And when we come that way, the table is open to us. If you've been living like God only tolerates you from a distance, hear this. He's not offering you crumbs. He's pulling out a chair for you. So wherever you've been gleaning today, look up. You've been noticed by the right person. You've been noticed by Jesus.
That's it for the week. Thanks for spending your time with us.
This is good news you can use on Pearls and Swine. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for tuning in with us. If you've got questions or comments, we'd love to hear from you. You can email those to office@evangelup.org. If you'd like to catch up on any of the previous Pearls and Swine episodes, just search Evangel Houghton on your preferred podcast platform or go to our website, evangelup.org.